This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with me, Ezra Zayed. And this evening, we're going to be speaking about a new interactive space in Ipoh. It's been more than 5 years since the passing of legendary local filmmaker Yasmin Ahmed. But now, her spirit and legacy has been commemorated in one of her most beloved cities, Ipoh. That is in the form of the Yasmin at Kong Heng Interactive Space. In this space, the late Yasmin Ahmed will inspire you through the display of her life's work, enriched by digital augmented reality content. Here in the studio to tell us more about this very unique and special space are two of her former colleagues and close friends, David Locke, photographer, as well as Nisha Kirudin, producer. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Ezra. Thank you. Ezra Zayed.
Now, tell us and give us a brief background about your respective relationships with Yasmin. How did you know her? Did you guys work with her? What was that like?
You go first.
Okay. I know Yasmin since late 80s when Yasmin's husband, Yu Liang, and they were going out. Since then, I know her. And after that, we've been friends, and I'm doing her work as a photographer. I'm doing a lot of shoots for her and get along. And finally, she tangkap me and make me become her villain. All the pecah kepala, all the tumbuh orang, bunuh orang is my job.
Right.
He's an actor in Sipit. So watch it, he's the gangster in Sipit.
And so you were the go-to guy for her when it came to these types of characters.
Yes.
And Nisha, how did you know Yasmin?
I was jobless, so I went to see her. I was like, can I get a job? She was like, do you have your papers? Like, no. Okay, you're hired. Like, great. Yeah, so I've been in Leo Burnett for about 7 years. She was my boss. She's a little bit crazy, but yeah, she's kind of nice.
And what was that relationship like when you guys were working with her? Because I think a lot of the Malaysian public know Yasmin through her films and perhaps through some of her commercials. But beyond that, you know, it's only through analogies and anecdotes of close-knit friends.
Well, Yasmin has this talent to make you feel like you're very special when she wants to. But she can scare the shit out of you as well. But working with her is fun because you never know what you're going to get. She'll just wake up one day and say, let's do this now. So it's quite interesting. She's quite brave that way.
Yeah, this her spontaneity is something out of the world. And but the spontaneous of knowing, I think she knows. So she just creates something and let it flow. And then just see what's the outcome. And that is the most beautiful part of things. You see, she don't quite control. And she will just let it flow and then say, yep, that's it.
So what do you think she was inspired by when she was working either at Leo Burnett or as a filmmaker? Was she somebody who was responding to what she was seeing around her? Or was she always driven by something else?
I think it's more what's around her and the daily people. Not so what's on TV and the commercial stuff. Because I don't think she really likes commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, all the Petronas stuff, it's all about real people, the struggling people, which our clients didn't want to air. Mm-hmm. So I think she made a good point.
So, to tell us a little bit more, though, I think a lot of folks may not be familiar with that particular anecdote. This whole idea
marginalized.
Well, perhaps, I mean, there were things that she wanted to share with the Malaysian public, but executives and suits may not have been comfortable with her portrayal of this idea of what she had.
Okay, the common issue I had, I don't know about David, like back then you never see Indian people on commercials, okay. Right? So I think she was the first one who insisted that we should. And if they didn't want to, she'll just pull out the whole commercial and she didn't want to do it.
And in what context did she want to have sort of people from the Indian community in a commercial? Was it like a Raya, Deepavali kind of thing or was it just...
Merdeka.
Right.
Yeah.
She has commented like... Malaysia, you don't just have Chinese one race, Malay run race, or things like that. You have a community of people, mix of different races. Why should their commercial only skew towards one race and forget about the other race?
And she was committed towards showcasing the full diversity of the Malaysian community in these commercials.
Yes, this is one thing that she always believed in. We live in a social side of Malaysia where everyone is involved. Why should someone be sidelined? you know, this is something that she don't believe in that kind of segregations and how you call biasness in life.
We're speaking to David Locke and Nisha Kirudin, both our former colleagues and close friends of the late Yasmin Ahmed. There's a new interactive space in IPA. We'll be speaking more about that very, very shortly after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, it's the Evening Edition. You're with me, Ezra Zayed, and we're speaking about a new interactive space in Ipoh. It's called Yasmin at Kongheng. It's an interactive space that will commemorate the life and works of Yasmin Ahmad. In the studio with me is David Locke and Nisha Kirudin, two of her former colleagues and close friends. Nisha, just wanted to sort of elaborate a little bit more about Yasmin's working style and what she was like in the office, how she was like when she came up with so many inspiring ideas that the Malaysian public has seen. What was she like?
She's a bit crazy and fun. She will let you sleep in the office. She'll let you go out and watch a movie during office hours. But the best part, I think she's a good teacher because not all Petrona scripts are written by her.
Right.
So she'll allow like everyone to write their own version of their ideal festive story, and she'll pick the best ones and present it to the client and sell it. So if you're lucky, you get produced. So I got lucky.
So it's a very collaborative aspect where it didn't have, you know, this is what the writers are supposed to do, this is what the producer is supposed to do. She just wanted everybody to pitch in.
Like Petronas is an open thing, it's a very people thing, so everyone should be able to write because you live day in, day out, it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not guided by certain commercial aspects, so and so. So it's quite nice.
And what sort of ideas did she normally gravitate towards? Which ones, you know, every time you saw a script, like, yeah, this is something that Yasmin would be quite interested in.
Like she would say, si lamut, so it's never a fixed one.
Right.
Yeah. She say, if you don't try, how you know?
And David, any experiences or recollections of working with Yasmin and all the quirkiness of that in which it was involved?
Well, I had a little run-in with her one time. I was supposed to... It was in the movie, Sepet.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to play the gangster, Jimmy. And what happened was that... and I had... So happened on the day of the shoot, I had another assignment.
Okay.
So I called her. I said, Min, can you... My part of my shoot, can I postpone it to the next day? Or di meletup. I was like, Then the next thing I got was that, oh, you're not my friend anymore. You don't think me as my friend. How come you do this to me? So then I tried to, talk to her about it. And she just refused to, you know, at that point of being, I think, angry with me because we are very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then after two days trying to contact her, and finally I went to the set to see her. What happened next was so beautiful. She saw me, we hugged, and then we just said sorry to each other, and things move on from there. And one thing that very beautiful about Yasmin is that she forgive. Her forgiveness is so graceful.
Now, we've listened to a couple of descriptions about what Yasmin was like as a person. Now, how did this whole idea come about when it came to the construction of this space, Yasmin at Kongheng, the space in Ipoh? How did it all come about? Whose idea was it?
Actually, it was Yasmin's mom's idea to have a space to commemorate her work and her, actually. And it has been few years after that, and we're just toying where can we have it. And then so happened, architect Saxon has a space in Ipoh that he just refurbished and make it viable again. So I spoke to him. I said, can we have a little museum there? And he was quite excited about it. He said, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And then it dragged on for a bit, for about a year, I think, after that. And finally he said, well, you have to do it. So brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And a lot of emails and a lot of traveling.
And so what was the initial idea when you're talking about this space? Was it a space to just show movies? What were you guys thinking? Or at least what were you toying with?
I think it's more to like a place where people can go and see a little bit about Yasmin, where she gets her ideas from, to inspire people more than anything. It's not a museum, because Yasmin hates museum. She'll come out from the grave and kill us. But yeah, it's just that we've noticed that the ads nowadays have lost its touch a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's very product driven. It's lost the human touch to it.
So that storytelling aspect.
Yeah, so we just want to remind people that you can't do something like this and keep it as simple as that.
And so when, I guess, in discussions with Yasmin's mom, were there sort of all sorts of memorabilia that you guys were looking at when it came to putting it in this particular space? What were you guys thinking?
No, we were quite against memorabilia kind of thing. We don't want any artifact to be stationed there, because it's not a museum.
Right.
And those are personal items that we do not want to be exhibiting. But we have, our first show is by Stanley Wong. Stanley actually took photographs of Yasmin's belonging, in a sense.
Okay.
And some of the things that she has in the office and her wardrobes. And so we thought, as a first show, it's good to have some of her presence, but it's not permanent. So just run on as a first show. But what we showcase most now is her commercial, her TV commercials, and her films. And we have a every weekend, there's two movies, either Sepe or Mualaf or what, you know, we take turns to play. And then most of her TV commercials will be there. Not all, but most of it.
All right. Yeah. We're speaking about Yasmin at Kongheng, the interactive space in Ipoh that's commemorating the life and work of Yasmin Ahmad. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good evening. I'm Ezra Zayed, and we're speaking about a new interactive space in Ipoh that's commemorating the life and works of Yasmin Ahmad. It's called Yasmin at Kongheng. Of course, people can go to facebook.com/Yasmin at Kongheng. That's Y-A-S-M-I-N at K-O-N-G-H-E-N-G. In the studio with us is David Locke and Nisha Kirudin, two of our former colleagues and close friends who have been involved in the formation of this interactive space. Now, tell us very quickly what people can expect when they head out to Ipoh and encounter this particular space.
Well, when they reach Kongheng area, actually it's a very in place now. It's a very trendy, I would say, but it's a very lovely space. They're renovated by the architect Saxon and a bunch of friends, and by this old block partners called Julie Song, Fufa, Wai Leong, and Kamai Marakan Dior. So they are so gracious to allow us to have the space as a museum. What happened is that you can, it's like on the second floor. The moment you walk in, you will get, it's a very beautiful space of about 25 by 25 feet of a square space, brick walls and old walls all mix in, very emotive, I have to use the word, lots of feeling, very nice and beautiful lights. It's quite inspiring space. Actually, when you sit there quietly, you can actually generate a lot of quietness between oneself, and you can come up with lots of beautiful ideas about things.
And it was launched in November of 2014?
Yes, November 15 is the official opening. Yeah.
And so moving forward, how long will this particular Yasmin-type exhibition be going on there? Will it just be there forever and ever, or will it change over a longer period of time?
This is a revolving show. This is the first show by Stanley Wong from Hong Kong.
And he's the curator?
He's the curator of the first show. And we put it up, his show. And he has the same show. It was in Singapore and in China. Yeah, so... And this will last for another 7 more months. Yeah, so after that, we will curate another show inspired by Yasmin, or some work that was inspired by Yasmin.
So thematically, over a longer period of time, things might change and people might discover different things about her?
And that's what we want. And I think with the way how Yasmin work is, she will allow people to generate and create things within themselves. Yeah, so that is the most important thing. So we provide the space with the inspiration of Yasmin. So things will happen.
I think what's going to be interesting about this space is that as people go to Yasmin at Kong Heng, people sort of feel inspired, but also will come up with new different ideas and stories and interactions about what they might have had with the late Yasmin, and you might actually uncover something quite interesting and perhaps be able to integrate it into this space moving forward as well.
Exactly. That's what we are looking for. And this one project now, this one events might be happening soon in January. This Project Rabak, they're using the space to screen Amir Muhammad's film. That's what we want. Youngsters come about, you know, they gather together, discuss, look at new work, look at how to improve themselves, the society, and things like that. So this is something that we are very much like youngsters to do.
Of course, this is a project that a lot of old friends and former colleagues have come together to put off. But how are we going to be funding it and sustaining it moving forward?
We at the beginning funding was all through friends. We had Malam Yasmin, where friends comes together and funded the beginning, the initial costing of the whole project, and it was very beautiful. From the families,
friends,
mother and
clients
and former colleagues, everybody came and make the night a very successful one. We managed to collect some money to make the space. And now we are asking for donors to help us in some of our daily expenses, our monthly expenses. So for those who are interested to help, they can go to our Facebook page at Yasmin at Kong Heng, and then all the details will be there.
Yeah.
Terrific. And so what people can do now after listening to this is only open on weekends, Saturday and Sunday from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m.
Yes.
And all the details can be found at facebook.com/Yasmin at Kong Heng. The address once again is 89 to 91 Old Block Apartments on Jalan Sultan Yusof. Admission, I guess there is some sort of donation, but for kids it's free or something?
Yes. It's admission by donation, ringgit. And kids below 12 are free.
Yeah, that's why we need donation.
So there's no cap on how much you want to give.
Not yet.
Yeah, you can give more if on the donation, but this is about 3 ringgit. That's all.
The entrance fee.
And I think Yasmin will agree to that.
Yeah.
It's just for the maintenance of the place.
To sustain it.
Yeah, and also our administrator there, Pon Safian. So she's the one who actually helped us to run the whole place now.
Well, folks, it's something you definitely want to check out. A new interactive space in Ipoh. It's commemorating the life and works of Yasmin Ahmad. It's called Yasmin at Kong Heng. And once again, you can head over to facebook.com/Yasmin at Kong Heng. That's YASMINATKONGHENG for more information. In the studio, I've been speaking to David Locke and Nisha Karuddin, both her former colleagues and close friends of the late Yasmin Ahmad. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.